Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
This man is going to be busy. I don't even know what time his day starts for the work that he does. DJ Shockley, who is, of course, going to be working the sidelines tomorrow, joins us now. DJ, really appreciate the time. I know it was last second, but thank you very much.
Tomato, you got it, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, Shock, what time does your day actually get started tomorrow?
So we have a 3-hour pregame show before the game starts. So the pregame show is at 12:30, but we'll probably get started. I'd be there way before that because obviously it's going to be crazy in Athens, as you guys know.
Yeah. Do you still, I'm really asking, Larry Munson used to tell me about sort of walking the field before games. Do you find yourself, are you ever down on the field before the pregame stuff starts? Do you like sort of putting your feet on the grass?
Oh, yeah. I do the whole pregame show from the actual field. So I do the first couple segments of the pregame show up at Tate Center with the other guys, and I leave and I come down and I'll interview some former alumni guys. I'll interview the president, the AD. And, so I'm down there the entire pregame doing the whole show up until it kicks off.
DJ, a lot's been said about Tennessee's prolific offense, and rightly so, but Tennessee's about to face the highest-rated defense they played all season long. Dogs lead the SEC total D, scoring D, run defense, number two in the conference versus the pass. What do the Dogs have to do to slow down this Tennessee offense?
I think the number one thing is you can't allow the big play. That's one of the biggest things that they feed off of. Obviously, I'm sure everybody's heard all the stats on Hendon Hooker and, you know, how, you know, explosive they can be throwing the football down the field. And that's where they really, you know, hurt people is creating those matchups and then having those big plays, those chunk plays down the field. I think we've seen Jalin Hyatt running free all year long. They have to limit the explosive plays in this ballgame. If they got a chance to get the Hooker, they got to. They got to be able to find a way to hit him. They got to be able to get him off his spot. You got to move him. Glad to have Jalen Carter back. He was back last week, obviously, but glad to have him back in the middle because if you can push the inside of that pocket, you got a chance to throw the rhythm off of any offense, let alone one that likes to go fast and the one that likes to be in rhythm at Tennessee's end. But if you can limit those explosive plays, make them earn it. Make them go, you know, 7-8 yards here, or, you know, you can't allow the big chunk plays down the field because you do that, then it's going to be a long day.
What do the Dogs do in the absence of Nolan Smith? Everyone knows about his ability to pressure the quarterback, but people forget a big part of what he did, setting the edge against the run game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's one thing that's kind of undervalued about his game is how physical he is at the point of attack, and he's one of the best leaders on the team that they have. And I mean, you think about, I remember the Oregon game. Everybody talks about how athletic Bo Nix is. This is a dude who ran him down multiple times, pressured him multiple times to get the ball away and just throw it away. And he adds that physical presence that you like. And you know, it's the old cliche term, man, that everybody uses, and Kirby said it all week too: the next man up. And the great thing about Georgia's defense, though, is they play 18 to 22 guys all year long. If you ever watch them play defensively, you see just groves of guys coming in, especially in that front seven, guys just coming in and out. So they got tons of guys who already played. Now some of those dudes like MJ Sherman or Chambliss have to play a bigger role this weekend.
DJ, where on the sideline, because I've been in that spot, where do you like? Are you, even with the ball, do you like behind? Do you move around enough where you actually get a chance to see? Do you pick spots as to what your perception is as to what you're seeing on the field? Do you move up and down quite a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it just changes sometimes. Most of the time I'm either behind or in front of the ball because I like to see the entire field. I like to see everything kind of you know, unfold as it is. When Georgia has the ball, usually I like to be behind the ball if I can, because I'm looking at it from the quarterback's perspective. And then, you know, defensively, I like to see the back end of it, see how the guys play on the back end. That gives me a great view of what's going on and what's happening. And sometimes, usually, I'm by one of the coaches, one of the offensive coaches, especially when they had the ball, trying to see what's going on, what they're looking for, all that kind of stuff. And it gives me an insight into the kind of stuff they're trying to do offensively to attack.
When you see what Hendon Hooker is doing as a system, is this the type of thing that you go to bed about still, even at your age, dreaming, oh, boy, what I wouldn't mind being in this?
No doubt about it. I mean, you're in the gun all day. You're going fast. You're throwing it all over the yard. I mean, the dude's got 21 tubs, the one interception. That tells you he's doing a great job of controlling. But I think Heupel's done such a great job of putting him in great situations to be really good. And obviously the tempo helps in the run game. I think they're averaging close to 200 yards in the run game as well. But the fact that, you know, you get the opportunity to play free, you get the opportunity to allow defenses to be so vanilla because you go so fast, it makes your life, makes your mental game so much easier just because you're going fast and defenses have to be vanilla with it.
And speaking of playing free, DJ, it must be great to be a defensive player, coordinator, position coach, and you know that your offense is good for 40 or 50 points every time out. Like you said, you can play loose, free, take some chances, because you know the O is going to get it back if you give one up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mean, I think that's kind of what works going hand-in-hand. And I think when Heupel went into this situation, knowing what kind of defensive coach that he wanted, the defensive coach had to know in mind that, hey, this is going to be an offense that goes fast. And sometimes we may go three and out. You got to be ready to go. But then there's also going to be times where you're going to be up 14, up 17, and you can work on a lot of different stuff. You can be very multiple because offenses are trying to play catch up or trying to keep up in the ball game. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this game, because obviously as we came on, they're scoring 50 points a game. We're only giving up 10 and a half. Something has to give. And it's going to be fun to see how these coordinators go about it.
Tennessee, they play at a frenetic pace, 10 seconds between snaps, just under three plays per minute. And Coach Smart was saying this week, you can't prepare for that kind of pace in a week or two from a conditioning standpoint. You've already got to be in good shape to play against that, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's something that he stressed all year long. And to be honest, you know, I go back to way back after the Oregon game or playing at Sanford. He always talked about we have to be in better shape. Yeah. And I think he knew building up to this game, his team had to be in shape. And you can't come into this situation saying, like you mentioned, hey, all right, this week we're going to do some extra sprints. Well, if you ain't in shape by now, it ain't going to help when you get to Saturday, because it's going to be totally different once you get to Saturday. I think this team is in shape. They've really done a good job of it all year, because I know Kirby stressed it every single week. We got to be the most in shape team for four quarters. So I know coming to this game, they will do the same.
Hey, DJ, is anybody better at their job in the country than Brock Bowers is at his?
Goodness gracious. I mean, y'all seen this dude. And every week I watch this dude make just the most ridiculous plays. And I'm standing there on the sideline next to some of his teammates, and they look at me like, did you just see? Like, he amazes them in every game. And then, I mean, you add that with Big O, too. I mean, some of the stuff he can do in line, it's unbelievable. Those two guys are a matchup nightmare. But Brock, you think about it last week. They had a big fourth down play, and they needed somebody to come up with a play. Guess what they did? Put Brock out there. Let's go one-on-one. You go make a play. He usually makes that play for you. The dude is different. That's to be real.
Yeah, and you can make a case. Look, I know what the Heisman Trophy has become. I'm just telling you that I don't know if anybody does their actual job better than he does. That doesn't win you the Heisman, but it lets people know that there's not many better than you in the entire country. What's interesting is everybody comes to school thinking they're going to play, certainly hoping they're going to play sooner instead of later. What is it like to run scout team or be on scout team when you have a really good week or a good group of guys that for the season, we know it's limited, but we're going to do our job in scout?
The crazy thing about it is I think these dudes understand that their role throughout the week is just as important
right.
as what starters are on Saturday. And I think Kirby stresses this so much. I mean, he puts so much into the walk-on program. He talks so much about the scouting guys, making sure they give these guys a look. I talked to, you know, some of the quarterbacks during the week, and they said, well, it's going to be a great week. I get to be so-and-so, and they let me just go and be. And I think that's the great thing about it is so smart, learn so much about how these guys practice and go about their business when they're on the scout team. Think about how many times he talks in his interviews about, we had this guy down here being a scout. We had him down there going, running plays, and that's where we saw the effort. That's where we saw, you know, his attitude. And now when he gets to his opportunity, they're like, okay, we've already seen it. So I think guys understand their role. If they want to be a starter, it starts on the scout team, getting everybody ready to play so that when your time comes, you get a good look too.
And everybody talked about Tennessee's prolific offense, 4,400 yards, averaging 7.4 yards per play. But right behind them, DJ, Georgia, over 4,200 yards, 7.24 yards per play. They're right there with them.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, Georgia's offense, you know, has had their time where they look really good. I mean, and they had their times where they sputtered as well. We got to be real. There's times when, you know, Stetson's been, you know, hey, we need to put him in the Heisman talk. And then other times, like, what are you doing? So this is an offense that's been up and down, but I think when they're clicking on all cylinders, when they're running the football, when Stetson's making great decisions, when he's using his leg to run more, when he's, you know, been more of the dual threat guy, that's when his offense is so dangerous. And you got to give a lot of credit to Todd Monken, man. This dude dials up some crazy, just crazy matchup stuff to find ways to get his guys open and win. And he continues to do it every single week. And this is an offense that's hard to stop, especially when, you know, you got so much going on pre-snap with the motions and the formations, and they find ways to set stuff up early in the game. They come back to it later in the game. And then it all comes down to 13 just being the decision maker, you know, distributing the football, making plays when he needs to, and just playing within himself. That's when his offense is crazy good.
Hey, DJ, you're young enough, I'm assuming. Did you grow up? Was your high school and college career in the day of headsets where you could listen to your own music?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Because I'm really asking this idea of you want to be a team, but guys have individual things to get themselves ready for every game. You don't want to change the routine because the game, wink, wink, is bigger. But can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be in a room where you have guys who have different personalities and how they get themselves ready to play on game day is different?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who go through a different regimen every single week, and there's other guys who do the same thing. And I remember playing with a guy, and you guys know him pretty well, Reggie Brown. This was a guy who did his own thing. He would do his own stretch. It took him X amount of time, and whatever that time was, Coach Rick, they allowed it because they knew once he got himself ready to go, he was going to be that guy. And I played with a lot of guys like that who mentally and physically had to do certain things to get themselves ready to go before a game. And you just knew that was just what they needed to do. And guys find a way to do it. And as long as they showed up when the ball was kicked off, that's all that matters. So I think a lot of guys go through that process. And I think you got to emphasize what you just said. I mean, hey, you got to make this just another game. Yeah, everybody knows it's a huge game. But if you do more than what you're usually doing, guess what? You're making it more than what it is. And usually you're going to overthink something. And that's when you mess up.
Chris has been giving me a hard time, DJ. I've got a 2005 Georgia football media guide in front of me. I'm showing it here on the YouTube. You're on the cover, Gerald Anderson, Russ Tanner, Dennis Rowland, Max Gene Gillis. Tell us what you remember about your battles against Tennessee back in the day.
Oh, see, they were always crazy games, man. They were always ones that came down to the wire. They were always physical. They were always tough. You knew kind of if you wanted to be anywhere near playing in Atlanta, it started with beating Tennessee, and it started with going there. I mean, my redshirt freshman year was when we went down to Neyland and we won, and it was the old hobnail boot game, and it was crazy that, you know, we finally beat Tennessee in Tennessee, and that's just how much it meant. I remember the excitement in the locker room after that game was unbelievable. It was one of those feelings that you wanted to have back again, and it's just one of those type of games that whether it's there, whether it's here, you look forward to it. And you know Tennessee's going to bring it because that's just a rivalry over the years. And I think it's great that Tennessee's back. I great that Tennessee's playing well because it makes the East better, makes the SEC better. And this game will be no different than the ones we played. I think back in the days when early 2000, where every game was mean a lot and it was extremely physical and tough.
Kirby has said it. If you leave with a voice, you didn't do enough. Eric Ainge has said between the hedges is not very intimidating. What do you expect? Because after I saw the 17 penalties in Neyland, I'd probably walk into the building thinking me and my group, my closest friends in this entire building, might actually have a little run into what happens. Do you think there's a chance that it gets ratcheted up to maybe even a new level tomorrow?
Let me know. This thing is going to be bananas. I remember the last time Kirby asked for the crowd to be there early or to be there and be rocking. Obviously, you remember the Notre Dame game, but I remember when he first got here, and he asked for all 93,000.
Right, yeah.
And everybody showed up. And I think for Georgia fans, they feel like when Kirby speaks, he's talking right to you. And I think they would be there. They'd be rocking. We've been getting calls and emails this week about, hey, make sure you get there early. You're going to have even more, you know, fan presence, more crowds going to be there. I think it's going to be unbelievably loud in there. Something we haven't seen probably in Sanford Stadium in a long time.
All right, last one. How happy are you that you actually do this for a living, that you go back and it's like these are your people? I'm really asking. I know that, look, we did Falcon stuff together, and yeah, I think, yeah, you know, NFL stuff is great. College is more entertaining. It's funner. It's more emotional. How happy are you that you're actually a part of this?
It's pretty cool, I tell you. Last year, being a part of the team and,
yeah,
you know, being able to go across, be a part of that national championship run, and, you know, to be an alumni of this university and know that, hey, this is an unbelievable environment. It's an unbelievable place to go. I think it's going to be pretty cool to have the opportunity to go back and be able to do this week in and week out. So it's been a pleasure, man. I've enjoyed it. I loved it. It's something that I look forward to weekly.
Well, DJ, thanks very much. Again, I know it was last minute. We appreciate you coming on. I've told you in the past you're one of my favorite people in town, the way you carry yourself. I hope your family is doing well. And I am happy that you're a part of this broadcast and a part of what they were able to do last year and trying to get back to and do again this year. We will catch up sooner instead of later, I promise.
Domingo, I appreciate you, man. You know, it's always love when you call me, Rob.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.